What if I told you that someone left banking, moved to a new country, started off in customer service, and within 1 year, doubled his salary?
I doubled my salary. Yes. 35. And after saying that for just 1 year, I'm telling you, within 1 year, I doubled it. And within 1 year of being a BA also, I left another organization, a post where I got even more.
Hey friends, welcome back to my Tech Journey podcast. I'm your host, Esther Adebayo, and on this episode, I'm joined by the powerhouse herself, Adeleke Akinada, Senior Business Analyst, award-winning woman in tech and diversity advocate. On this episode, we'll talk about how and why she left her banking career, the skills you need to succeed as a business analyst, and a whole lot more. You'll learn the exact mindset shift that helped Adeleke succeed and thrive in her career. And you also learn how to stay proactive and visible in your career as well. We shared so many gems in this episode, so you don't want to miss it. Stick to the very end. All right, let's get into the episode. Nike, I'm so glad that you're here on the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to have you.
You're welcome. I know we met last year, a couple of months back, and you know, it was at a conference, and when we met, you talked about what you do, and we just kind of instantly clicked, and and from then I was just like, yeah, I'd like to have you on the podcast, and I know this is long overdue, but I'm really glad that we are finally doing this today.
Thank you so much, Esther. Thank you. You're doing amazing. And this is what I love. I love to see women that are doing amazingly well in tech. So, of course, when I met you, we met in a place where, you know, like-minded individuals were. So it's just normal that I instantly click with you. So thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
You're honored.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm excited for all the things we'll be talking about today. But before we jump right into the conversation, I have an interesting question. So I was thinking, okay, what did little Nike, when you were small, when you were young, what did little Nike want to be when she grew up?
Ooh, I love that question. Like, it's making me think about myself when I was younger. Like, there's one answer. I think for everybody that knows me when I was younger, if you ask them, they will all say the same thing because I wasn't hiding it. Everybody knew that that was what I wanted to be. Okay, so when I was little, I was like a chatty type. And automatically, I just feel like people say it and it got stuck in my head. So I wanted to be a lawyer.
Ooh, that thought.
Lawyer, because I like whenever it comes to, you know, helping people, standing up for people, I am always there. Like, even people that are older than me, I stand up for them when I was younger. Like, if I see that you're trying to make somebody feel small, I will stand up, I'll talk. Even there was a time, there was an argument with like an older person, and the person was being mean, and I kind of stood up. I'm like, why are you treating her like this? That's not nice. He came, he patted me to my mom and everything. My mom was like, hey, this girl.
Up your mouth and not put you in trouble.
Like, my mom was like, hey, God. Even if an adult, then, you know, we have this culture. Even if an adult is wrong.
You will not say anything, Abby. Just keep quiet.
Just keep quiet. But I wasn't one of those people. I'm sorry. I was going to talk. And so I really wanted to be a lawyer. That was my ambition then.
I love that. I think for me, I wanted to be a banker. Somehow in my head, I was just like, you know, when money is kept in the bank, so I just felt like, oh, bankers are the richest. So I wanted to be a banker, and shortly after, I wanted to be an automotive engineer because I like cars. I think my love for cars. So up until now, I still love cars. So I just felt like, you know, I'll be making my own kind of car. So I studied mechanical engineering. It's not too far.
You can invest in that, please. So I come and buy a car from you.
No worries. Yeah, but it's good to see how, you know, we had goals, we had dreams, and somehow I don't think they've totally changed. I think they just become, you know, they just formed into something different. And now you work as a senior business analyst.
Yes. So I like to stand up for people.
Exactly. You're still an advocate, right? That's the most important thing.
Yes, I'm an advocate.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. So you're a business analyst, but I know that when people hear the word business analyst, they probably think about so many things. Like, how would you break that down? How would you describe what you do to like the common person?
Okay. Yeah, I'm a senior business analyst. I'm also a tech consultant, and I will explain how that is interwoven in a bit. So, as a senior analyst, business analyst, if I want to explain what I do to someone that does not even know anything about tech, what I would do is, okay, you know, if you have the technical people that, you know, write code, build apps and all of those things, you have them. And then you have the business people in an organization. So they are the ones that, you know, make decisions, bring budgets, bring the money, you know, business people. So how do the business people and the technical people, how do they understand each other without clash? Because the technical people use so much of the technical jargons, technical words, and the business people talk business. So they need someone there to be like a middleman between both of them and make them, you know, be on the same page. And that's where I come in as a business analyst. So that is how to explain it. Like, I am the middleman between the technical guys in an organization and the business guys in an organization. So I come in, explain what the business wants, explain it to the technical guys, explain how it works without using so much technical words. Explain it to the business guys. So yes, I kind of, if so they need like to say anything, if they need to do anything, yes, I'm the middleman. This one will give it to me, bam. That person will give it to me. This one will give it to me. I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll analyze it. I'll give it to them in a good way because I can give them bars and booze.
Okay, yeah, you're still being an advocate, right? You're still literally at the center. So do you necessarily need to be, like, how technical does one need to be? Because like what you just said, you're at the middle. That means you somehow need to understand technical jargons, and you also need to understand all the whole business, sales, you know, marketing, all those stuff. So how technical does one need to be?
I feel like you need to be as technical as you can. The only thing that is not really necessarily in the technical space is how to write the code.
Quick pause from the episode, because if you've been job hunting and feeling stuck, I need you to hear this. Hired is my 3-day career accelerator that I designed for folks like you, those that are tired of applying, hearing nothing back, and want a step-by-step guide on how to land their dream tech job. Inside Hired, I don't just talk about how to fix your resume based on generic advice. I actually walk you step by step on how to craft an ATS and keyworded optimized resume that attracts recruiters. And that's not all. I also teach you how to turn your LinkedIn profile into a direct job invite magnet. I'll also show you how to craft a job search plan that saves you time and gets you results. People like Bukola join Hired, follow the steps, and has this to say: Hired is the most step-by-step plan I've come across. I finally know what to do every single day. Now Bukola is on her way to land her dream role, and you could be the next. If you're tired of guessing and want a real strategy that works, then visit thefreelancehq.com/hired or check the description box below for a link to save your seat. Let's get you hired. Now back to the episode.
Right, that's the only thing that you don't really necessarily have to do, but every other thing from the technical side you need to understand. Like, now if I say I'm going to be writing what the business needs, I want to write it for the technical guys to understand. I need to write it in a way that the technical guys will understand, which we mean I used to use some technical user stories. They call them user stories. User stories is not just anybody that can write user stories. There's a form to write a user story as a this. I want to do this so that I need to write it in that format, which is a technical skill for a technical guy to understand. So yes, I need to understand how to write acceptance criteria. These are technical skills that a business analyst needs to have. And for the business part, I need to have, you know, good stakeholder management, interpersonal relationship, communication skills, you know. So it's like having two technical skills, business skills, soft skills, having everything together. So to me, a business analyst is like magicians, because I'm not just focusing on one thing. As I'm thinking of technical guys, I'm thinking of the business guys. It is easy for a technical guy to just focus on their code and focus on what they have to do. But I can't do that. I'm multitasking. As I'm thinking of the more technical guys, how do I get that story written? How do I put my stories in on Jira board? How do I make sure that there's no ambiguity, it is clear, it is simple? I'm thinking about that to make my technical guys do their work effectively. At the same time, I'm thinking of how to make the business guys on course to and understand what they want also. So we are actually doing so much, even if we're in the middle of two people, because it's like doing the technical work and doing business work. So how much technical skills do you have? You need to have the right technical skills for a business analyst.
Mm. And then you also need to have the right business skills also. Understand your domain. What if you're working in, because we have BAs in different domains. We have healthcare BAs. We have civil service BA. We have in the bank, financial. So if you're working in a bank, for instance, you need to understand your domain. The business guys need to understand just the domain and not think about the technical part of it. But as a BA, you understand the domain, understand the business side, understand the technical side.
Yeah, I think I love what you mentioned about like the fact that you're like magicians because you know so many things and you're putting it all together. But thinking about the fact that you have to be really grounded on the two sides of things, like the business side, the technical side, how easy is it for one to become a BA? For you, for example, did you like study? What did you study in school? And you know,
how did I get there?
How easy is it for someone to become a BA? Do you have to have a formal training? Is it something you can learn in boot camp? And realistically, from when you learn, I know that's a lot of questions, so we'll break it down. Let's start with this first one. Easy is it? Yeah.
I think with every reasonable career, with every career that you're not just entering for the small time, a career you want to build and be successful is, you need to put in the work. That's just the way it be. You can't just say, I want to be a BA like that. No. You need to learn. You need to understand business analysis. What are the skills? Because we know that we have some transferable skills. For every career, there are transferable skills. But you cannot rely on just transferable skills to be a BA. Yeah. You can learn, good communication, how to work with people, how to have empathy, you know, all those are transferable skills. But when you learn all those things, you still need to learn the technical skills, like I said before. How do you write user stories? How do you do requirements gathering? How do you elicit requirements? How do you break down the goals? How do you do gap analysis? These are not things that you just know. You learn it. You go for a course. You go for a diploma. You go for a bootcamp. Bootcamp is just for you to start. Because I've been doing this for 10 years, and I'm still upskilling. Every time I'm learning, I've been doing it for a long time. And I'm learning every day. I just got my international diploma in business analysis. Before you can do that certification, you have to do like 4 modules before that. I did 4 modules. It took me 4 years to do those 4 modules, and then I did because I was busy working and doing other certifications while doing that. So to be a BA is not I can just do it because I see that happening a lot. People just come in and this is the in thing. I want to be a BA. It is easy for you to just package your CV and lie and do something. And if grace works for you, you get the job. But how do you sustain the job? How do you perform so well in the job? So you need to put in the work. You need to keep learning. You need to keep upskilling. So let me go back to how did I start. I schooled in Nigeria. And if you're familiar with the Nigerian education system, after school, you go for your NYSC. That's the National Youth Service Corps. You serve your country for a year. After serving your country for a year, they then put you in a... Then you start looking for a job. Yeah, but for the 1 year I was serving, I was serving in a school, I was teaching and all that. Okay. And then the in thing in it, just like I think it's the in thing in UK too. Most graduates in the UK, they tend to go for graduate training roles once they finish school. They start applying for graduate training scheme. The same thing happens in Nigeria too. If you come off the good results and if you pass them the exams, so I started applying for different graduate training schemes and I started applying for them in the bank. So when you said I wanted to be a banker, I was just laughing because I've been there, done that. I was a banker for 5 years before I left Nigeria. So I applied to different banks and I got in. I got in to Diamond Bank as a graduate trainee. And in the graduate training scheme, how does it work? You kind of walk through different departments for like 2 years before you get like a particular place. Okay, this is what I want to do. So while I was doing the graduate training scheme, I worked in operations. I did cash tellering. You know, you come to the bank, you give me money, I put it, I deposit it for you, I give you your receipt, teller, cashier job. I did that. I did customer service. I did affluent customer service, which is the customer service for everybody in the bank. And then there's affluent customer service where our customers just come into a lounge. It's not for everybody.
Oh, for the high people, A-list people. Okay.
Yeah. I did customer service for them also. You know, when they come, we give them coffee, we serve them. They're in a lounge. They are not in the branch, like in the...
It's good to have soft life.
Soft life. Whenever I look at them, whenever they come, I'm like, God. I want to be a business person one day. I want to sit down and be sipping coffee while somebody gets my cash. Somebody does my transaction. So, I did that also. And then they posted me permanently to a branch, and I was attending to those iNetwork. I was the customer service, but like I said, iNetwork customer service, and I was doing that for like 2 years, and I'm like, this is not what I want to do long time. So what are the other departments in the bank? And I feel like I'm lucky and blessed to start in a bank because there are so many departments in the bank. There's fintech, there's treasury, there's corporate comms, so many at the head office while we are at the branch. So I started researching on those roles. I started talking to mentor. There's a particular man, God bless him, wherever he is. He was my mentor then. And it was in service assurance, service quality assurance. That's what he does. He's a service quality assurance manager. And they also, they kind of do what we do, like they make sure that all the services, but they're in control of all the processes and services in the bank, make sure it's of high quality and all that. So I started talking to him about what they do in their role, and he was like, okay, he'll talk to me about what they do in their role, and he will also link me up with other people that can talk to me about what they do. And that's how I started talking to people and understanding the roles. And I spoke to my my manager then. Before I got there, it was not my manager, but it was the head of business process assurance. That's a department, and what they do is process improvement. And that's part of the things the BA do now. So I spoke to him, and thankfully then, while I was talking to him, there was a role available because someone had just left that role to another department. So he saw that, you know, speaking to me every time, I schedule call with him, he knew that I was really interested, and it's something that, you know, I was willing to learn. And that's how, I didn't have to have the qualification. I just needed to have the willingness to learn, and it was a junior role, do you understand? So that's how I got into the head office in that business process assurance unit as a business process improvement officer. Right now, because of my experience, a business process improvement officer is also a BA, because BAs are not just, you can be a product owner and be a business analyst. You can be like, business analysis is in different roles even without the name, because they do business process improvement, they do via requirement elicitation. So that's how I started as a BA in the bank in Nigeria then. So I didn't go to school to learn anything. I was just interested.
You were just
when
curious.
I got there, they had to teach me. I started learning to use Visio, because Visio is an application that we use to map out processes. So if you want to improve a process, you need to first of all map out the current process. And you don't just write out processes on Microsoft Word or something. You can do that, but you need to be able to virtually see the processes. So that's how I started learning how to. I was a junior person, so they taught me a lot. Like, I was learning on the job. And that's how I got into business analysis.
Awesome. You know, what you said is so good. You mentioned that you were doing so many things, like at the bank, you know, you were rotating in this department and go to another department. But I think one thing about just coming to tech or doing something, changing careers or just changing your life, I feel a lot of times people need to realize that you are not a tree. You can't move. Like, if you want something more from your life, it's important to just exactly go for it. Don't feel like, you know, this is all there is. Even if other people are doing it, because for you, there were many other people in your own, let's say your cohorts, that were graduate trainees, and they were just, you know, being rotated. They would just have been fine with that, you know, that phase of their life. But it's important to be curious. For me, I think that curiosity is the first step to doing amazing things with your life. For you, you were very curious, and then you asked questions, and somehow someone,
my inquisitiveness, people say
exactly,
some people think it's bad, but for my own life it has really helped me. People like that. I mean, I want to learn, I want to know, how did you do it, how can I do it? And until now I'm still like that.
Yeah, I think it's a very good trait one should have. Be genuinely curious, be inquisitive, want more. And, you know, not just you, a lot of people I've interviewed, that's literally how they start something really big. They start their careers. They just want to know more. They're tired of their immediate, you know, immediate situation, and they just want to do more with their life. And somehow a door just opens. I think if you're not curious enough, the door will be closed. But the moment, you know, you're curious and you want to make a change, something just opens, an opportunity opens.
I was like, okay. One of my guys is leaving soon, and I'm like,
exactly.
What?
Everything just worked out.
But then he told me I still need to pass the interview. So I had to go back and start reading about business process improvements. What are the skills I need? So I had to come with so many things that I've YouTube, I've read and understood. I started talking to the other people in the department, asking them, because don't forget that I've been talking to the manager, but I started going back to talk to other people in the department, because sometimes the people that you think don't know, they are the ones that even know more.
Exactly.
Because at the point, managers are just managing people, but the people in the department, they still have the skill.
They have the information that you need.
So I started talking to them also and getting so much from everybody. Just so that when it's time for the interview, I know what I'm doing.
And yeah. I'm
doing it. Because he's not the one that interviewed me. They bring another person. So there won't be any
bias, right? Yes. No bias. It's just very objective. That makes sense. That's really good. And now, you know, you're not just a BA, you're a senior business analyst. So I'm curious to know, what were some of the strategic things that you did? I know you mentioned not too long ago that you've just taken like another certification.
Yeah.
But what were some of the things that you did that you would say, these are what made me scale up, you know, get promoted in my career that other people can equally learn from?
I think one of the things is being proactive. I've come across people, so many people, that they are good at what they do, but they are not proactive and they don't speak up. I don't believe in going to work and being silent. You're doing something, you're doing it well, and you're just quiet about it. In meetings, you don't speak up. People don't, because we might say, oh, your work speaks for you. Yes, your work speaks for you, but sometimes you speak up for yourself also. In fact, not sometimes, most times.
Many times.
Maybe
speak up for yourself. Speak up for yourself.
Because I've realized that, especially in this part of the country, they like when you're visible. When there's something happening, they can hear your voice. And the kind of people that I know that we are kind of from my culture, we tend not to blow our trumpets, like blow our own. Like it's a form of pride in my own country. They feel like, what is all we are? But over here, it is not. It is you doing something and letting people know that, oh, I'm doing this. So it took me a while to understand that, babe, we have done this. Let your manager know. Speak up. I wasn't doing that at first, but those are the things I started doing that really helped me to get, you know, promoted. So I was doing my job really well. Like, I knew my onion. See, there's something I keep telling people, like, when it comes to business analysis, I know it well.
Yeah, you're that girl.
I'm always upskilling. So whatever, if there's a new AI is in town now, cybersecurity, how do I do business analysis, leveraging AI, leveraging cybersecurity, anything that is on track, I'm learning it. I want to know. Before they even bring a project that requires that, I'm already learning about it. That's one thing I do. I just don't sit down with my old knowledge and think I'm going to improve. No. So that even when they start talking about it at work, and I raise up my hand to say, oh, I read about this and this and this, they're like, what is happening? Like, we've not even started doing AI, you know. I'm not saying know everything that's happening, but have an idea. Like, I feel like intelligent people, when you talk to them, they have an idea of everything. They might not be masters of them. They might not be like the... But they have an idea of what is happening. Yeah. That's where I want people to be. If something is happening in the country, even if it is politics, you don't have to know the details, but know what is happening.
Yeah, know
what's there's up. Something about diversity that Trump is saying in America right now. I'm reading about it. I'm like, okay, it's not in UK, but it's going to... We all know
it's
that
it's going to affect us eventually.
It trickles down. Exactly. It's trickles. So you always know what is happening. And that is what I think I do a lot. And I'm very, very, very proactive. I work. If they need somebody to volunteer to do... You might not have the capacity to do that, but that's one of the things that has helped me. I volunteer for things at work. I just don't do my project, because some people believe in, let me do my 9-to-5 and go home. If that's what works for you, good. But I volunteer, like, I try diversity, because I know that how many black women do I see in a room when I walk into a room? I don't see. In fact, it is even now that I feel like I can start counting. Before, as of 2019, when I came into this country, oh God, it was hard to see black women in a room. So, when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion, volunteering for those things, I'm always there. At work, I'm in a women's group. I'm the regional ambassador for it, you know. I speak up when it's right, when there's something we need to talk about. And then for my work, for my projects, I also assist people. Like, if I have a junior BA that's struggling, I tell them to put in a time with me. Okay, you can put in 30 minutes once a week with me. I try to help. When it's time for feedback, that person will give you very good feedback. Because in this country, feedback, performance review is what matters. If you're not getting a good performance review, I don't think you can get that position that you want. And how can you get a good performance review? People are seeing you do what you do. You're helping people. Your feedback is, you know, top notch. So, and when people want to give you feedback, when you've done something for people, don't wait till it's time for performance review. and then start using feedback and requests to, you know, bother people. Do it almost instantly. So you get what you want to get, keep it, and when it's time, you use it. So another thing is I upskill myself. Like, I do certifications. Some people think certifications don't necessarily get you a job. I don't certifications get me a job. I do it to know more about what is happening.
For yourself.
Yes, myself. Not because exactly. I want to get a job. It actually helps. Because right now, if you want to be a senior BA in most of the civil service in UK, they ask you for BCA certification. So they ask you, they put it, it's part of the requirement. But I didn't have to wait till they started putting that. I was doing it when I knew that, okay, there's BCS and they do the certifications. I've been doing it. But now it's part of the requirement that they now ask. So look at what are the organizations that are like, they are teaching thought leaders in your field. The people you are looking up to, go to their LinkedIn. What do they have?
Mm-hmm.
What do they have? I look at this person that is really, really doing well. Like, go to their LinkedIn. Oh, they have this, they do this, they've gone this. Okay. I want to do that also. I might not be able to do as much as they've done, but let me start something.
So it's a good starting point, exactly.
It's a good starting point. So those are the things. So when I tell people I have a CBAP from America, it's a global certification, it's an international one. People say, oh, yeah, in the UK, why do you need an international certification? I need it. Don't worry. I know. I don't have to just stop with UK certification. Yeah.
You don't know where, like, when it will be so useful, because you're not just planning for now, you're planning for the future as well. Exactly.
And I will not wait till when it's time to, I'm leaving UK. I'll say, what am I supposed to do? That means I've not been thinking globally. I've been limiting myself locally. And that's not what I would do.
I love that.
Yeah. So those are more, but those are the things I do to make sure that
I love that. You spoke about, like, mentorship, mirroring someone that you admire greatly and just trying to, you know, have a starting point, being proactive, learning as much as you can and upskilling. So, I love that. Those are very practical points. So if anyone's looking to, it's not just in BA, like, it's not what you mentioned, it's not just restricted to BA. Yeah. It's like broad, any career path that you're at, these are things that you can do and you genuinely see yourself, you know, moving up the ladder as well. So, Nike, let's talk about the money. I know a lot of people listening talk so much about how much, you know, what you do as a BA, the skills that will help you. So many people will be interested. Just give us a ballpark of, as an entry-level BA in the UK or globally as well, what's like the salary expectation or the comps totally that one can have, and as a senior business analyst also, like, what's that range? Because people, you know, money can be a source of motivation.
Yeah, it can.
So, and it's not bad at all.
It's not bad, it should.
Exactly. So what's that like?
Okay, when you said globally, if you go to that one, my head will just right now thinking of it. But you know, UK has a way to,
I don't UK know why it just balances it.
Let's balance this thing. But you see, Canada and US.
Oh my! That's where a lot is happening.
Honestly, I just feel like even though that UK, I'm just used to it. Like, change is really hard. Like, coming here, then honestly, UK, when it comes to the salary, UK is like the is under. But let's start with UK. That's where we are. Okay. So for entry business analysis, it starts from about 30 to 40k for pounds. Entry level, like you have just maybe straight out of the school or 2 to 2 years less experience.
Okay, is that in pounds or the pounds, right?
40,000 pounds, because we're talking about So 30 to 40,000, and then if you are not maybe like between three to five years, you can talk about 40 to 50 as a senior BA also. It has, it depends on the
year max, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Because not all senior BAs will, because there's always a band. If you know about UK, there's always a range.
Yeah, they always have.
They can say
bands.
There's a senior BA position, and then the range will be between 50 to 80. So somebody can do that interview and get 80, and another person can do that interview and get 60. But you are both senior BAs.
Senior BAs. Okay, so that's like 50 to 80 range for the UK.
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. Then principal BAs, or, you know, maybe like head of business analysis manager. That one is from 80 to, let's say, 120.
Okay. Nice. So you've heard it though. There's money in being a BA. So
when
if
you're US,
interested. It's way more than that.
Don't let me even go there.
But and it's not even more. For BA. It's like in almost any career path. Like, UK always just tries to bring it down.
You know,
but US is like a lot more generous.
As a senior BA in US, 200K above.
Exactly. Yeah, so if you're interested in being like a business analyst, definitely reach out to Adenike. She's doing so well, and I'm always excited to see how you show up on Instagram and everything you do with Bryce. I know we are coming to Bryce Career shortly, but before we come and talk about like what you do at Bryce, I know you mentioned that you moved to the UK like in 2019. So let's talk about the big leap, like moving. It's a lot to move, like from Nigeria, you moved to the UK. So how did you manage that whole transition emotionally, mentally, physically? How was that period for you?
I feel like I've been bubbly now. If I talk about that period, oh God, I don't want to say it was depressing. Hey, because if you know me, I'm the last one of my house. I have siblings. I'm my mom's baby. I love family. I love to stay. Even when I got married, I was always in my mommy's house. Because our house is not far. I'll just carry my baby. We'll go there. So I didn't have the intention of moving, to be fair. But my partner is a medical doctor. And if you're in Nigeria, you know that's like the in thing. But before this, I know there are like two waves of movement in Nigeria. There's this 2021 wave that happened through schooling, but mine happened way before then. Mine was just, I'm not the medical doctor, and you know that was what was happening. Yeah. Medical doctors were leaving Nigeria because they were not earning so much. As a banker, I was earning well. Like I was working in one of the banks that pay, you know, Diamond, Access, GTP, those three banks, then they used to be the highest paying banks. I was working with one of them, and I was already promoted. I was not an entry level person again. So to me, I was
quite established. Like,
life was good. Like, it was, everything was. I had my office had a crèche for my baby on the island.
Wow,
like,
that's so beautiful.
I was living the life.
The way you're even reminiscing it is like, you want to go back?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Showing me shaggy when I got to UK. Thank you. It was easy for me over there, you know.
So, to me,
based on my job, my career, my progression, I was very fine. But then, in marriage, you know, it has to be balanced. So, my husband, you know, after spending 6 years or more in medical school, and then you come out and know, you know, earning what you should be earning, and they don't even appreciate, you know, you enough and all that. So that was he wanted to move. So as a family, we decided, okay, let's do this. So he wrote his plab 1, plab 2, you know, what his exam was favored, he passed them, and we had to move here. And when I got here, I thought I was going to be bowling, but my CV was just getting, I was just getting, unfortunately, left.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh my God!
No, it wasn't easy. To be fair, my first year in the UK was, I didn't understand the markets. I didn't understand. That's why what I'm doing now is very important to me for immigrant, because I was there. When people tell me, oh, they've not gotten a job, they're getting unfortunate, because I was up in there. So I come here based off my experience. Now on my personal Instagram, on my business Instagram, I do that not because people are doing it, because I have experienced some things and I just want to help people not to experience those things. So I have to start as a customer service person.
That was the first job you got when you moved to the UK.
But thankfully, I should say thankfully, because I've seen other people like they got stuck on the job, which is not bad. As long as you're getting money and you're doing your best, it's gonna get better. But because of, like I said, my proactiveness again, when I got a customer service job, I didn't just sit down and start doing customer service. I made sure directors, managers, people around, everybody knew who I was. And they knew my experience from Nigeria. And they knew I was a business analyst. I was telling everybody that cared to listen.
You're
and
blowing
I was
your own trumpet. You didn't wait for another person to blow it.
I'm telling you, I was doing certifications here that I didn't do in Nigeria. But I knew Scrum Master certification, Lean Six Sigma. Lean Six Sigma is about business processes, how to do the right processes the organization, eliminate waste, you know, remove defects. I did all the certifications while I was still a customer service person, because certifications in Nigeria then wasn't a thing that
it wasn't it something that was necessary per se.
It wasn't necessary like that. But yeah, I knew that, okay, how do I keep saying I have experience, how do I back it up with proof? So I had to do my Scrum Master certification, my Lean Six Sigma. Every time I pass it, I'll send it to, there's a distribution list, my managers will see it, and I'll copy a change, because most of the job we do, change directorates is mostly where the thing is. I'll copy okay. them. I let them know that I have this. Everybody will say congratulations on the email chain. It's just there. They're just getting to know me. So when we did an event one time, and I spoke to the director of change, and I spoke to how I've been doing this for 5 years and I have the skills and all of that. And then there was a secondment opportunity. I don't even know about secondment, where they would just go to a department for a while. You're not a permanent staff there, mm-hmm. but for a while, why they need maternity cover or something.
Oh, so that okay. was that kind of thing where you just like stay for a while pending another person.
Yes. Okay. So the person was, I think it was off sick for like 6 months, and I was like, I applied for the role, and that was agile. It was something about my personalities. Agile change manager. I applied for the role and I got it. After that 6 months of being seconded there, I applied for a BA job within the same organization and I got it.
My goodness.
So I didn't have to
leave. Always been proactive.
I was always, and I was always.
It has always worked for you. Yeah.
Sometimes when you put in, just keep putting in the work. I know that can be hard, but keep putting in the work.
Yeah, don't stop.
Don't stop. Don't give up. Because I was a customer service person for a year. But 6 months out of it, I was in secondment in another department. And after that secondment, I applied for the BA role in the organization. The starting salary was 35K. Then, from customer service, that was earning me 18,000.
Wow, that's like double.
Yes.
Awesome.
18 to 35.
Within one year.
I'm telling you, within 1 year, I doubled it. And within 1 year of being a BA also, I left another organization. They pushed me and I got even way more.
That's good. I love how strategic you are, because as much as it sounds like it's all stories, but the strategy and what you mentioned, that you've even taken some certifications in US, even though you are in the UK, like it's all about being strategic and just having that plan, not just for now, planning for the future. And even though you don't know how it will be useful, you know that somehow a door will open up. Exactly. Once you're prepared, it all open up, and preparation will make you take that opportunity. Yeah. So, Nike, tell us more about what you do at Bryce Careers. You mentioned it a bit, but
so before I talk about Bryce Careers, personally, I'm a woman in tech advocate. I love to see women like me, minority. Yeah. I love to see us in tech, because I've realized that in the tech space we have just a handful of women of color. So personally, without even that's who I am. So when I see a young students or young BAs, because on LinkedIn there's something, we have a group called Young Business Analyst Group, YBA group. I'm one of their volunteers and one of their leadership member. So what we do is we just make sure that young business analysts were able to, we do seminars, we do webinars, just to teach them requirement elicitation, how do you do it, you know, writing user stories out. We still encourage you to do your own upskilling, but at least once in a while we come and discuss things if you have any. So I'm a big woman in tech advocate, and on my personal page on Instagram, that's Tech Savvy Nikki, that's where I share most of my personal, you know, I want to talk about women in tech. I want to talk about not just women in tech, disabled in tech. You know, disability is not just physical.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many disabled people that nothing is wrong with them, you know, sickle cell warriors, you know, asthma, you know, they have like limitations, but trust me, they can still do so well in tech. So I am one of the advocates of them, because those people, many people don't speak for them, and many organizations have their disability scheme where you can apply for the role, and if you qualify, they will even give you an interview before they give you other person. And people, most of my own women in color, don't tap into these things. Look, and that is where I want, this is happening, why are we not tapping into it? Oh, you have asthma, oh, you think, oh, I can't really work in an organization. There are protection for you. Some organizations even do hybrid, but because of you, they'll tell you to work fully remotely, even though their policy is hybrid. But they understand disability. They understand that disability is not just physical disability. Don't think it's onto somebody has physical limitations. So those are the kind of people that I want to advocate for. You have the skills. You have the knowledge. Mm-hmm. You can do it. Don't let your sickness, don't let it stop you. Don't let your, in fact, not even a sickness. Don't let your braveness.
Your mindset.
It's not only a sickness. Don't let it stop you. you can work in tech and you can do greatly well. So yes, personally, that's what I want to do. Diversity champion, diversity advocate, women in tech advocate. That's what I love to do. And then I now have Bright Careers, which is like a tech consulting firm. So basically, if you have a small business and you want to optimize your processes, you know, we have big consulting firms like the Big Fours, you know, they're like the big people. They do it for the big organizations. But we have so many small, very, 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 very small startup that maybe you're just selling something, but you don't know how to, you know, overhaul your processes. You need someone to help you map it out and tell you how you can improve it. I do that also because I'm a BA. That's what I do. So I can do it for, instead of just working for my organization, and my organization is working for big organizations, I want to also help people, small people that don't have that money to give big organizations. So yes, I do that with Bright Careers, and I help people that want to transition into tech. People that, I'm a customer service person, I'm an healthcare assistant, I'm just doing this because I have to earn money, but this is not really my goal. And that is the story of majority of people. That is the story. Where they are right now is just like a starting point. That is not where they want to be. So I help you transition into tech. I coach. I do personal coaching, one-to-one coaching. If you have an interview, do interview prep for you. But that's on Bright Careers. So yes, I have two Instagrams. Personally, Tech Savvy Nikki. That's
P-E-C-H.
And then I have the Bright Careers for, you know, want to do coaching, you just want to talk about. I was talking to somebody. She just there to talk to somebody. She just wanted to talk to somebody that she's looking up to. Like, not everybody is your friend. I can just get a phone call and say, I just want to talk to you. But she's been following me from LinkedIn. She's been following me for years. And she's like, I'm a friend,
I just
but
want
not
to
a
talk
friend.
To you.
Yeah.
Like, you already feel so familiar with her. Yeah, but
exactly.
Like, you don't know her, but
I
she
don't
knows
know her.
You.
But she knows me so much. Like, she's been following my story from way back, but I don't know her. But that's why one of those, she just actually booked one of my personal coaching, and she came in. I'm like, okay, so what do you want to do? Like, I just want to talk to you. Like, how did you do it? I know when you came in. I know. I'm like, she just wanted to hear my story. Even though, thankfully for you now, you're doing this podcast. That even if you don't know, you get to hear my story from here. But then I had not gone on any podcast, and she just wanted to know more about me and how I was able to. Because she'll see me. I'm big for PwC. This one, I work with this person. I was like, this person
how
came here.
She was
genuinely concerned. And she wanted to do it also, but she didn't know where to start. So we have coaching session, one-to-one coaching. I do the just one-to-one, 1 hour. I do the long one also, because sometimes you need a constant reminder. Somebody I know that I did a coaching session, she said she just gave birth. And she feels like if she doesn't talk to me constantly, or she doesn't have somebody that pushes her to do it, she's going to forget about it. So we are on the 8 weeks coaching session. So, but if you don't want 8 weeks, just want to know where to start. Some people, they want to go into tech, they don't know the exact tech role they should go. You know, there's software engineering, there's product manager, there's software design.
There's
there's so many roles, and they don't know. We have to just look at your personality. I'll discuss with you. I'll recommend. One thing I do is I recommend, I advise, because I won't just tell you what to do. I'm not your mommy, and I'm not your daddy. But
I love
I'll make
that,
sure that
yeah.
Look at your personality.
You give guidance.
Talk about the skills you have, the ones you can learn, and where you can get it. And I'll hold your hands while you get your job.
Awesome. Thank you, Nike, for being so open, sharing your story, and just also championing diversity and, you know, being an advocate. You mentioned earlier when we just started about being a lawyer, and you're still being a lawyer. That's the truth. In everything you do, we are still able to see the fact that you want people to be treated fairly, equally, and you genuinely want to see them win. And I'm very excited for all that's you've done and all that you're still gonna do. And very quickly, I know we are running a bit late, but
I'm enjoying this.
That's good to hear. I want you to just quickly talk about, I know you were a diversity champion finalist.
Yeah,
so I want to quickly talk about it and highlight it before we go. How did that whole experience, when you saw your name as one of the finalists, what was going through your mind? Like, getting that record is so important to get recognized for the work
it
you
is.
Do, because we do work, and when people recognize you, it just gives you a very good feeling. So how did that make you feel when you got that, like, your name on the finalist?
Yeah, let's not even pretend. Like, I like that I'm very open with Esther. Let's not pretend.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I just got an award. No, I got that award!
Yes.
Like, it's not the
It's not small.
Before then, in December, I won the Women in Tech Global Award. That's the Global Award.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's December 2024. I feel like that's... I want to talk about that before I
even start.
Global Award. You know, it's a different thing when you're recognized at your workplace. Fine. Mm-hmm. You're very excited. Or you're recognized on Instagram with your, you know, your like-minded... like you and I feel like we are all women in tech. We come from the same place and all of that. You know, recognize is very good, but then on a global
scale,
I'm like, me.
That's another big. Level.
That's big. When I saw my name, I told my colleague, I'm like, is it my Adenike Akindada? Or is it another? Adenike? She was like, babe, it's you. I've got to check. It's you. So Women in Tech Global Award. So it's a global award for all women in tech. Globally, so it's an award that recognizes women that are doing really well in the tech space globally. And how do you get nominated? I think we are all doing well. It's just that most people don't think when they see these things they should nominate you. I think especially our culture, we don't have like now that there are two people I'm already for this that award I spoke about. I have two people on my list for next year when it comes out. When it comes out, I'm going to be staying on that award. I'm going to be nominating people because I realized that I don't know why we don't. You see somebody online. You love what they do, and you genuinely know that they do it well. Not like they're doing it for the gram. They really want to help. And then an opportunity comes where you can, you know, make them feel like seen, and you don't put their name. That's not fair. So I'm using this opportunity to be happy and to also, you know, encourage, like
nominate people forward.
People forward because somebody will put you forward to one day. And this, it feels good because when I saw it, and I think where it happened was, the person that nominated me was not even somebody in my community. So, in my previous organization, we have something called our tech talent. It's a network.
Okay.
Our tech talent. Like I said, anything that requires diversity network in our organization.
You're there.
I'll be there. Any organization I join, I'll ask them, what's the diversity thing in this organization? Mm-hmm. I want to know about it. And it's genuinely because I want to help people. So I know the person that nominated me, but I didn't think the person could write so much thing that will make the judges actually pick me. Because it's a different thing for you to be nominated. Another different thing for the judges to, you know, pick your nomination. I can imagine what she would have written for me. And she's not even a woman in my community. She's a woman because our tech talent is for women. It's not just women of color. It's for women in them organization. So I mentor ladies, young graduates coming from school, entering into the organization and thinking, this is too much for me. Like, they are excited to come into the organization as a graduate, but they don't know what they are coming from. They see managers that, you know, some are very, very mean to them. They see colleagues that are not, you know, so they come to the network and they share stories. And we are there to, you know, we understand. You understand that you're feeling imposter syndrome, you know. So those are the kind of people that are encouraged. Like you know this thing. You passed your exam. You passed the interview, but you get on the job. You're shaking. It is normal. I've been there.
Yeah, definitely.
So when people come, because I've experienced this thing, talking to them is on a different level. So I think she was one of the things for that award, and I'm like, global award me. But you know, the thing she wrote, and so they'll get in touch with you and tell you, you've been nominated for this, provide that, which I provided. And you know, I was part of the... I was thinking, maybe that, even that nomination alone is okay for me. Mm-hmm. Being nominated.
Yeah. Then going like out ahead. Already been recognized. Then
yeah, but going ahead to not win the award. It was a big deal. That was December. Oh, please, go and check my page. It
December is there. 2024, right?
And for December,
Okay.
Just recently. It's not even up to, not up to 3 months now. Yeah. It's on my pinned post on Instagram. Please. Because I was the only woman of color in UK.
That's huge. That's big.
So yes, please guys, go and give me my accolades. I want it. So yeah, that's by the way. And then a month after then, just imagine my happiness winning that award. Like I was the only black person in UK that won the award. We were three. Two other ones were another nationality and I was really happy about it. Even at work they were so happy about it. Everybody just sending emails, congratulations Adenike and all that. So a month after, I then saw this nomination again. So this one is the Black Tech Achievement Awards in UK.
Okay.
So there's Black Tech is for the black community and the people doing well for diversity. And like I said, I know that
champion.
When I saw that nomination, I'm like, somebody somewhere can see that. Me, I want to. Me, I'm not one of the people. I'm here, and that person should not come. No, We can all be here, and we will all snatch it, and I will be at your back. If I don't get something and you get it, I'm going to come to your DM. I'll come and AO you. I'll come on your posts. I'll come and shout
comments. Yeah, that's how it should be.
We need to because that's one of the things that I want us to do. I don't think we do it a lot in our community, and I want us to do it more.
Yeah, like, something we need to do. We don't have to.
Let's love each other. Let's love upon each other. Let's blow our trumpets. If one of your colleagues is doing well, you know. And yes, so the Black Tech Achievement Award is for people that are supporting diversity, inclusion in the tech world, that are really, really, really making sure that people that don't think they can be in the tech world know that. Because I have a coachee that, you know, has a disability, and she's so brilliant. But she has the fear of mentioning it when she's applying. You know, when you're applying, they will tell you, do you have a disability, yes or no? She thinks saying yes is going to make them not stop her. So she spoke to me. And I'm like, no, saying yes does not automatically disqualify you. And that's the fear that some people carry around. And that's why I'm here to come and I'll bring it to your head. No, put it there. Put it there so that when push comes to shove, when you need that help, when you need to step down a bit, when you need to work from home, they are there to support you. And that is what she got a job now. And she mentioned it. And she's not feeling any type of way at all because it's just your manager and the HR.
It's out there and they employed you based on your own qualification. Yeah.
Exactly. If you need to go to the hospital, they're going to give you that time off. They give people time off to smoke. So what are we saying? So that is one thing. So yes, I was not there for that award because, you know, I'm encouraging. When I talk about diversity, I'm sorry. I'm very passionate about it. That's why I feel like somebody somewhere has a disability and is listening to me now. Go for that job. Apply for that job. Mention what you have and you get that job. What they need is your skills. Your health don't matter. When you need to step down, they will give you. I know somebody that doing from December to March, she doesn't come to work. She doesn't come to work at the office. She works from home because it's cold weather and it's not good for her health.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so please, don't just hide. I'm going back again because I love you. But yes, Esther, like you asked. Yeah. So yes, because, you know, I'm encouraging diversity in the tech world. You know, more women, more people with skills, more minority. Come and join us. Come and share your ideas. And I was nominated for that. I didn't win that, but I was a finalist. And I'm so happy because this is like a Black Tech. Like, you are seeing people. I was seeing Black people in that event that are doing really well. Dr. Perel, Dr. Raphael. I'm like, hey, God. I'm in the same room with this set of people. I'm
not very humbling. Yeah,
very humbling because these people they've been in the UK for years. I'm just 6 years here. They've been here for 20 years. They've been doing so much, and I can be in the same room with them. I can be nominated. I can be a finalist. And then that one day I'm going to win that award. But yeah,
for now, definitely you will, and I'll be rooting for you. Yeah, so definitely. Yes, thank you, Nike. Thank you. I've really enjoyed the conversation. It's been fun. It's been amazing. I appreciate your time. And I know there's still so much that you're willing to share, but if not for time, maybe another episode, you'll come back again and share more with us. Thank you to everyone for joining and listening to this conversation. Don't forget to, you know, reach out to Nike if you have questions about anything, diversity, and you really want someone to guide you. Nike is your girl. So thank you. I'll see you in
another episode. Follow me on my LinkedIn, on my Instagram, on my TikTok.
I'm going to put her links in the description box so that you can easily access all those.
Even if you're a tech girl already, you're a tech guy already, you know, we can still be, you know, we're in the same tech world. Let's be friends. Exactly, you know, come on my comments, put in something. Let's not be strangers.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. See you, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.